This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
Lord, we just want to thank you because you are awesome. There is none like you. There is none that we can compare you to. You are bigger than the biggest, stronger than the strongest, mightier than the mightiest. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. You are yea and you are amen. When you shut a door, it is shut indeed. When you open a door, there is no man that can shut it. I serve you, my master. The master of the universe. The reason for the season. Hallelujah. I say the reason for the season. Hallelujah. Lord, I celebrate you. And we celebrate you together. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus. That you will reveal your knowledge. The power in your knowledge to us today. In the name of Jesus. Let your word be power and spirit unto the people. That their lives will never be the same again. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise and glory. For it is in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. You may be seated in heavenly places. Thank you, choir. Go and take your seats. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to bring a word to you. As it was mentioned already, this month we're saying the theme is light of the world, amen. We said that the theme this month is light of the world, amen. And so we are believing God for this month, for God to show us what is the light? What is that light? You know, praise God. And so it's one thing to know the light, and it's another thing to be able to do something tangible with the light. Somebody say amen. So it's important for us to know, what is the purpose of us knowing the light? That's the first question. What is the purpose of us knowing the light? Why does anybody need illumination? Why is darkness so unpopular, let me say, that someone will need illumination? Dr. Bode came to the Yoruba prayer one of these times that we invited him to come and minister to them. And he mentioned something that was unique to me because I'm not familiar with that. He said that when you're, you know, in the village, for anybody that's from the village or has been in the village before, he said that there's this lamp thing that they have, right? He didn't use that word. He used another word. I don't remember what the word that he used. But lantern. Okay, the translation is lantern. He said it in Yoruba, and the translation is lantern, right? So he said that when you're carrying it, so you get up in the morning and you have to go to the farm. It's still dark out. He said that you hold that little lantern, and that lantern, as you go, it's not like it gives you ultimate illumination. It's that limited, that space that you're going. So if you're holding it, you're going to see what's in front of you right here. You're not going to see what is ahead of you over there. So as you hold the lantern, it gives you illumination. So even though you may not necessarily see the big picture, you're seeing the immediate. Is there a snake on the ground? Hey, I saw you, bro. You know, and move back. So it is obvious that illumination is necessary in order to progress. In darkness, we cannot have progression. In darkness, you will circumlocate. You can't find your way. In darkness, you will hit and miss. Hit and miss. The reason why human beings hit and miss is because we don't have full illumination. We're talking about the light of the world. Why do we need light? We can't just go into the light of the world. Why do we need light? In order to have, the reason why we need light is so that we can progress. We cannot move forward unless we have illumination. In darkness, without light, you hit and miss. You bump into things. You meet with what you should not meet with. Oh, am I hearing somebody in the house this morning? When you are in darkness, you meet with the table. You're not going to the table, but you hit the table on the way and it slows down your movement. When you are in darkness, you are encountering things that you should not encounter that slows down what the agenda truly is, and that is to get to destination. Why are some things taking a long time? The reason why things take a long time or they are delayed is because we do not have illumination. In order to get illumination, you need revelation. You cannot, if you feel like, okay, let me go. And I'm going just like the example that Dr. Bade used. If you're traveling and you do not have the revelation to take the lamp with you, it is impossible for you to even, you can't move any further. So you have to first have the revelation that, yes, it's dark, but if I hold this little lantern, I can see as I'm going. Praise God. In order to have illumination, you need revelation. And there is only one revelation that makes a difference in the life of an individual. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And so we said he is life. And during Holy Ghost night, that's usually the night that we launch what is the scripture of the month. And we use, I was speaking from John chapter 1 that says, in the beginning was the Word. John chapter 1 verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. It was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him and by him. And without him, there was nothing made that was made. Let's go to where I'm really going. In him was life. In Christ, there is life. And the life is the light of men. Without Jesus, I cannot have life. Therefore, illumination is never going to be possible to me. I can never find my way without illumination. And I can never find illumination without revelation. And the only person that can give me revelation is Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. Anyone that is outside of Christ is dead. Can you? You know, they use this word, and I used to get upset, like, well, why would you are from there, why would you be saying negative things like this about your country? Every time, not just pastor, but anybody I'm watching a movie with, recently, we were watching this thing on Netflix, Netflix original. My husband and I, we spend time together, amen, and we don't always talk about the Holy Ghost, hallelujah. We since we are in the flesh, we relate to each other in the flesh, hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to encourage every... Now, that's not where we're going this morning. That's not the direction where we're going this morning. But I'm trying to let you know that because when we relate, sometimes we have date night, and so we're watching TV, not always go out, but because it's cold, we stay at home. The kids, they already know better. They better not. They dare not come downstairs. Hey, akatawoko sataya. Hey, kekekekebaka. Hey. Don't get me started this morning. That's not where I'm going. I'm talking about revelation. Jesus. Amen. So we were watching this documentary. Amen. Well, it's not a documentary. Rather, it's actually a series. And it's called The Crown. The story and the life of the Queen of England. Remember our pastor came, our senior pastor, our provincial pastor. He was telling us how she became the queen. And well, first it was her father that became king. Why? Her father was second. Her father was the second son. The first son that was supposed to be king, that after their father died, they automatically, immediately in royal blood, immediately the king dies. What do they say to the next in line? Long live the king. automatically started greeting him like that. Before the coronation, he decided he don't want it. He said, I'm going to pass on this because I love this person. She's a divorcee. Then if you cannot marry, and still now, if you marry a divorcee, you can't take the crown. So he said, I will take the divorcee and I will leave the crown. And so we're watching her story so that I don't get off task too much. We were watching her, story, the story of this series. And immediately Pastor was like, they showed us a little bit about the past and her grandfather or whatever when they were king. And Pastor was saying to me that, wow, look at 1872 or whatever. Look at the glitz that's in the UK. Whereas in Africa, they're still in the dark. In that time, they're still looking in the dark. So I said all that's to bring you back home again, that without illumination, you are dead. You are not, you have no, there is nothing happening. Where people are already building roads and building highways and they have a system in order, there's some individuals, not to say that it's negative or anything, but while some are already wearing clothes and wearing all types of layers, there are some that are still naked in the same time period. So what am I saying? If you do not have the revelation that you need, you cannot have illumination. And illumination causes you to move forward. And so I am saying, and the Bible is saying, that without Jesus Christ, you are dead. Without the revelation in Jesus, we are dead. Because life only exists in Christ Jesus. Do I hear an amen? There is life in Christ. Anyone that is without Christ is walking dead. Because life is in Christ. It says, in him there was life. And that life was the light of man. That means that I need Jesus. Jesus is that lantern. But the only difference between Jesus and the original lantern is that Jesus gives me illumination that is beyond what I can even imagine. The power in Christ that gives light. Why do we need light? We already answered that. We need it for what? Progression. And without, in order to receive progression, we need illumination. And without the illumination, it is impossible to progress, we said. And so we said also that it is in the revelation that we're going to see illumination. How do you, if you don't know, how are you going to? The things that I didn't know, it really hurt, it hurt me. The things that you don't know, it hurts you. You're limited in knowledge when you don't know. You know, there's this thing that they say here in America that if you commit an offense, if you break the law and you have to go to court, the judge doesn't say, oh, well, you didn't know. Ignorance is not an excuse. Amen. Ignorance is not an excuse. It doesn't excuse what is going, it does not excuse the result. There is always going to be a result when you decide to stay in darkness. When you decide that you will not find your light in Christ Jesus, then you will find that there will be some results that you will not like. Real life is when Christ enters a man. Amen. John chapter 10, verse 10. John chapter 10, verse 10. It says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's what the thief does. A thief comes, that he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus says, I am come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. There is life in Christ Jesus. And understanding Jesus will propel us to our place of destiny. And it will propel us through the process, and it will give us that process that we need. The whole purpose, the whole thing It's about Jesus. Even the scriptures, everything in the scriptures, said Jesus is the center of the scriptures. The Old Testament testifies about him. Amen. The Old Testament is testimonies of Jesus Christ. In other words, the prophecy of Jesus. It is the stories that you see in them. It's not really about them. And I believe I've mentioned that before. Look, the story of David and Goliath is not about David and Goliath, really. And the story of David and Goliath is not about you either. You're not like, oh, let me see me. I'm the David and I'm fighting Goliath. The story is not about you. The story is really about Christ. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that. Now, what I realize is that Christ himself is a better Adam, for example. Christ is a better Adam because in his own garden, he passed the test. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he was struggling, just like Adam was struggling. But because he is a true and better Adam, he passed the test. Do I hear an amen? Amen. He is a true and better Abraham. Because Abraham was supposed to be the one that God said, go. You don't know where you're going. Jesus also went, and he went knowing that he was going to stand in the gap. He is a true and better Abel. Abel, when he was killed, his blood was crying out for justice. But the blood of Jesus is crying out for you to be free. Amen. He's a true and better Abel. Amen. He is a true and better Jacob in that he took the blow so that my sins and my pain and disease can be removed from me. Hallelujah. He is a true and better Moses because not only does he stand in the gap, but he gives us eternal life. Amen. He gives us eternal life. Moses came with the law and the letter, which kills. Do this and you die. Do that and you die. Do this and you die. But he is a true and better Moses because he gave me the new covenant that says that all of my sins and my diseases, it was placed upon him, and by his stripes. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I'm sorry, chapter 3, verse number 6. It says, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament? Somebody say the New Testament. My job as a minister is not to tell you about the letter that does not have any power. What am I saying by that? The letter kills. It's the law. If I keep preaching to you the law, then I am not giving you what Christ has done. It is my job as a New Testament minister, because it says here, who also have made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit, it gives life. We are talking about the light of the world. And we said that Jesus, in him was life. And that life was the light of men. Says to somebody, illumination. In order to have illumination, you need revelation. What you're getting this morning is revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because it is only in the knowledge of Jesus Christ we know how to be, how to act, and what to believe. Hallelujah. And what we should believe is that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Amen. He is a true and better Esther. He did not just risk his life, but he gave his life. Esther said, if I perish, I perish. But God, Jesus, said, I am going to perish indeed. I'm going to die in place of them. Instead of Akinwale to die, I am going to die in his place. Instead of Akinwale to receive the punishment of his sins, I am going to put that punishment upon myself. And that is why it wasn't just a quick death. Because punishments, you know, sometimes when Pastor Gloria, for those of you that don't know him, is a man of God that, you know, is a friend of the church. He has a ministry all over the world, mostly in the Latin America, praise God. And he was a friend of the church. He would worship here whenever he's in town. And one of the things that they said to us, because he passed away at the airport. He had a heart attack and he just passed away. And one of the things that they said to the family to comfort the wife is he didn't suffer. That's usually the comfort. Look, if you're going to get a punishment and you're not suffering, then, I mean, if somebody shoot you and you die instantly, or, you know, you were whatever, they just behead you, you didn't have time to feel the pain. If they use a sharp knife on you, you didn't have time to feel the pain. It's a, you're gone. Praise God. But because we're talking about we sinned and we have consequences of sin, and the consequences of sin is really suffering and then death. So instead of me to go through that suffering and then death, Jesus said, I will go through it for you. What kind of a God? You know, one of the other things that after I finished watching Crown, Pastor said, I've had enough. I'm going to go up and sleep, praise God. I started watching Shaka Zulu. I was watching Shaka Zulu. And, you know, I always, because, you know, we should have the mind of Christ, amen. Whatever I'm watching, I try to see, how can this be a blessing to me, you know, besides whatever that I'm watching. Just like I was watching that Crown. The way, you know, I don't know, anybody has started watching that series, The Crown? Okay, one of the things is they showed us that as royalty, she said to her sister, she said, look, as your sister, I can allow you to marry this man. But as the queen, I cannot allow you. So it made me realize who I am in Christ Jesus. As a child of God, I am royalty. And I have to position myself in a way. Let me tell you, a lot of people have come to me. I hear it in the back of my head. They don't come to me to tell me. They come to me to smile at me. But they're saying it's ridiculous she doesn't stay at parties. They're upset with me because I don't stay long at parties. How can I stay long at parties when I understand who I am? How can I stay long at parties to the point where now it's there, they are sweeping the floor and I'm still, I mean, there are parties and then there are parties. Praise God. Not to say that you shouldn't go to parties, but to understand why I'm not. Look, when you spend too long in a place, that's when people begin to disrespect you. When you allow yourself to go to the ground with people and you go in the mud with people, they will begin to disrespect you. And because I care about the anointing on my life, I am careful where I go. Because I don't want to give room for people to disrespect not me, but the anointing that I carry. I don't stay long in places because when you outstay your welcome, that's when people begin to disrespect you. We must know the time and season when to move. Sir, if we don't move in the right time, in the right season, people will begin to disrespect us because we have outstayed our welcome. Praise God. So I must know that just like that queen, she couldn't make all of a sudden, once her father died, she was in Africa. Queen Elizabeth was in Africa when her father died, the king. Automatically, the way she found out that her father was dead, they said, long live the queen. She hesitated. I'm no longer just an ordinary person. I am no longer just my husband's wife. I am no longer just my mother's children. I always tell people, everything concerning George Sammy, I'm not sure about you. Concerning George Sammy, everything else in my life is number two, secondary. My first priority, the reason why I was born, is to preach the gospel. Now, it doesn't mean that I will not know how to balance everything. Because what I saw in that queen also is that with time, she learned how to balance everything. So I can't say that because I'm called to preach, I'm not going to be a good mother. Because I'm called to preach, I'm not going to be a good wife unto my husband. So it's all about balancing. But I understand that there are some things I just cannot do. There are some things you as a child of God just cannot do because you understand what you carry. Praise God. I realize that he said, look, I am going to perish indeed because I know that I am taking your place so that you can have life and that you can have it more abundantly. Somebody say more abundantly. The promise and the prophecies that were said in the Old Testament is just that, promises and prophecies. But I realize that these prophecies has been fulfilled. Do I hear amen? Amen. Maybe you don't believe me. Let's use one as an example. Isaiah 64 verse 4. Isaiah 64 verse 4. And on that note, we're going to close and pray. Isaiah 64, verse number 4. It says, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceive by the ear, neither have they seen, O God, besides thee, what he hath prepared for him that wait for him. In other words, they've not seen it before. They've not heard it. It's not entered into their heart what he has prepared for. That was Isaiah chapter 64, verse 4. And then let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. We'll start from 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, but it is written. Pause there for a second. Do you know why it says it is written? Because he's quoting what I just read to you in Isaiah 64, verse 4. He is quoting. He is making reference. It's like in the court of law. When they are in the court of law and there's an issue and they feel like, oh, well, it's going to go one way. The lawyer, smart, will quickly say, in 1942, the whatever of Road versus Dade, and this is how they ruled under the same constitution. And then they'll move forward that this is the same thing. I remember during O.J. Simpson's case, there was this thing, this brilliant lawyer just kept saying, look, it made us, whether he was guilty or not, his sweet mouth got O.J. off because he kept saying, maybe some of you are too young, he said, if it doesn't fit, you have to acquit. If it doesn't fit, you have to acquit. And he kept on saying that. I remember I was still in the Bronx then, and that was the thing. Look, it became a black and white issue. It became so terrible. And everybody that just wanted OJ to get off, he said, if it doesn't fit, you got to acquit. This here, it says, but it was written. He's quoting something. It says, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard. Neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 1. Number nine, let's now go. It's a continuation. Most people, when they want to talk about that first one, it's this one they quote. And most people quote this incorrectly. Because when we're looking at scripture, we cannot just isolate one scripture and run with it. That, oh, you know what? You can't even imagine. Because God says, eyes have not seen. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. It says, eyes have not seen, ears have not. You can't even imagine it. Let's go to the next one. It says, but God, somebody say, but God. But God has revealed them. Look, we are in the days of revelation. We are in the days of illumination because Jesus Christ has come already and he has given us the power to get everything that we need. So we're not in the dark ages anymore. Unless you are choosing to be in the dark. Unless you are, what is living in the dark? You have illumination. You have light. You are so messed up with NEPA that you don't even realize that they have brought light. And you're still trying to figure out how you're going to iron your clothes until your neighbor comes and tells you, hey, you see, the light is back. That's not a good example in America. That's not a good American blackout. There was a time we had blackout in New York. We've never seen it before. All the Nigerians, they adjusted right away. They just fit. They just switch. You know how, like, you're driving and you're going up the hill. You just switch gear and you get to the destination. Nigerians in New York, they just switch gear. They got to destination where the rest of us, we were confused. Like, what? How many hours? How many hours are we going to be in the dark? We ain't never seen nothing like this before. Blackout. I can't remember the year. Blackout. It was chaotic. We didn't know what to do. What am I getting here? I am getting at the fact that once you have illumination and you choose to live in darkness, it is on you. We are no longer in the days where we have to wonder. We are no longer in the days where the prophecies have not been fulfilled. We are in the days where Jesus has come to fulfill every prophecy and to fulfill every promise. And this 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 10 says, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Except you don't want to know. Except you want to continue to live in that realization that you're sick. I shall not live in that realization. I don't care what it looks like. I shall not live in that realization. There was a time when I was pregnant with my twins. They said that maybe they're going to be conjoined or something. They began to say all manners of evil, of nonsense. You know, they begin to say all manners of nonsense. And because they said that when they looked at the sonogram, they saw that the two eggs were so, so close that they should already start. I said, well, you know, that don't mean they conjoined, though. Glory to God. Just because they're close. They identified that they were identical twins. So they were really close. I said, the egg is too close. I said, well, that's just the way God will have it. They're not conjoined. As they began to speak death, I began to speak life. As they began to speak darkness, I began to speak light. Because in him is life. And the life is the light of man. And as long as I know that I have light, I will stand and declare not what I see, but what thus says the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord says to me that I am healed. The word of the Lord says that I can have what he says I can have. I can do what he says I can do. And I will get to destination by fire, by force, by thunder, by rain. I will get there. I refuse to live in the words that looks one way. I will choose to live what the word of God says. If you choose to live a defeated life that says you cannot go to school in the US of A, if you choose to live a defeated life that says that you cannot use your degree in the US of A, if you choose to believe the word that says that you will not become anything, if you choose to believe the word that says you're 30 now, you still ain't married, if you choose, it's a choice now. It's a choice now to have the light. He is the light of the world. And we have to choose. Sometimes choosing is not easy. Sometimes choosing is difficult because everybody else will tell you no, and you have to believe that it is yes. The Bible said David did something that was interesting. Everybody that was with him and has been traveling with him all this time, they were all of a sudden against him, and there was nobody in the land that could encourage David. What David should have done, the natural thing for David is, nobody's here to encourage me. I have nobody anymore. Let me kill myself. Let me go into depression. But the Bible said, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. It's a choice. It's a choice. I choose, and I said it the last time I preached on Sunday. I said, look, it looks like everything is okay with me all of the time because I choose. My mother said to me, never, and you know, that's not even the scripture. It wasn't even the scriptures. It was just something she brought me up with. She said, you never go to the store without your lipstick. Never. That's what my mama told me. You never go, you go haggard to the store because you're saying you're just going to the store. You go haggard. Look, you didn't comb your hair. You didn't put to her, the utmost is like you when you got it together, it's like you have lipstick. She said, you never go to the store without lipstick. And I said, Mommy, what is the big deal? I'm just gonna. She said, you never go. She said, I said, why? It's not scripture, but that's her way of saying that you never accept what people think or whatever. So my mom said that. If you run into your enemies, they will say, ah, I saw your friend. Ah. My mom said, you never, you know, see, because they come from that whole time period where polygamy was what they did, polygamy. So to them, it's the other wife that is their enemy. There's no other enemy in Africa, in Nigeria. Their enemy is the other wife. Oh, my enemies are against me. My enemies, they've started again because they do polygamy. You know, there's two wives in the house. So they're constantly fighting, sort of like what Jacob and Rachel and Leah. That's that whole thing. So my mom says that, look, you never go to the store without your lipstick. Because you got to put yourself together. Even if you're going through, you are drinking water and bread at home. When you step out, shekatapasha. Hey, let them know that no, she was looking good. So that they'll be feeling bad. That with everything we are doing to her, she's still not haggard. How can she? This is too much. We have done everything possible. She's still not haggard. So you're haggard, but you would not let them know that you're haggard. Praise God. So if my mama, who didn't know Christ when she was telling me that you must go out with your lipstick. So it helped me when I became a Christian. Because when I am out, I let it be known that I understand that it may not be that way yet, but I am walking in my promise and I am walking in the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord says, I am free. The word of the Lord says, I am healed. The word of the Lord says, I am not the tail, but I'm the head. I will not walk defeated, but I will walk victorious. Stand on your feet. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Jesus is the reason why I have joy. Jesus is my everything. It is only in Jesus that we can find that boldness and authority. If I just go to the store with my lipstick and I don't have Jesus, it's only a matter of time that they'll see through it. It's just pretend. Don't mind her. It's just a matter of time. But Jesus, in Christ, my shame is covered. Because he took my shame and gave me boldness. So whatever it is, it can last in Christ. I don't know who this morning, maybe you're a visitor and you have not asked Christ to come into your life. You have not received this light, this illumination. I want you to just put your hand on your chest right now, so that you can say the words. You know, it's not magic thing that you have to do some sort of a potion and throw it up and turn around and all of that stuff. The Bible only says that if you make a confession, that's it. The only requirement is for you to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And that light, that illumination will come into you that men will not be able to deny you. They may find flaws in you. They may think you're not perfect. But when you come, they cannot deny you. Because there is a light on the inside of you that speaks. And it speaks better things. Maybe now you understand why we say the blood of Jesus, it speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for today. Thank you for your word. Father, those that are even right now saying, Lord, I want you. I know that I am a sinner and I need you in my life to transform my life and make me that person that you have created me to be in, that I will begin to see myself the way that you see me. Let it be so for them now in the name of Jesus. We give you praise and glory, for it is in Jesus' name we have prayed. And the people of God say,
we hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.